Good morning. Just want to check the sound. Is that okay for people at the back? Okay. So before I offer another guided meditation, I just wanted to give a little bit of context, a bit of overview, perhaps a refresher of what we're doing here, and to acknowledge that with six different teachers, you are going to be getting quite a range of different approaches, different sets of instructions, especially if you've been here already for 6 weeks. You'll have heard a lot of different techniques, different methods, and so on. And at times that might sound confusing or even contradictory. There's a famous story about the Thai forest master Ajahn Chah, when somebody, one of his students, went to him and said, you're just giving completely contradictory instructions. One day you say this, the next day you say that. And he said, well, it's simple. If I see you walking along the road and you're veering into the ditch on the left, I'll say, go right. But if you're veering into the ditch on the right, I'm going to say, go left. And in a similar way, perhaps, we're giving you these different instructions and leaving it to you in a way to find, well, what works for you. So in some ways I think of this as we're like offering you a range of different tools. You know, if we're a carpenter and we have hammers and screwdrivers and chisels and so on, or we're a cook and we're offering you a whole range of different ingredients, or perhaps an artist studio and there's paints and canvases and all kinds of different materials for you to play with. And for myself, I like to emphasize this attitude of play, of creativity, because so many of us come to practice with a sense of wanting to get it right and fear of getting it wrong and good practice and bad practice and success and failure, and we can get quite tight. So in all of this range of different instructions that we're offering, I like to use a mantra many of you have heard me use. The invitation is to explore and enjoy. Explore and enjoy. So try things out. Give yourself permission to just try things and see what's the effect. How does it work for you? Within that exploring and enjoying, we have the framework to see how is this strengthening these two fundamental qualities of sati and samadhi, mindfulness and stability of mind. So that's the framework. When I say, how does it work? I'm inviting you to notice, is it strengthening mindfulness? Is it strengthening stability of mind, sati and samadhi? So really give yourself permission to see if you can be creative and try things out and see what happens. This kind of flexibility we can see in the mindfulness itself. So the unfortunate translation into English of the word sati as mindfulness makes it sound like it's a noun, it's a static thing, something we have to get. But as we pay attention, we can bring mindfulness to the mindfulness itself. And notice how that quality of mindfulness is constantly changing, and that it's actually more of a relationship to our experience. So sometimes we might notice that the mindfulness is very precise, very kind of zoomed in, very clear. We're noticing all the subtle details of our experience. At other times, it might feel more sort of zoomed out, more panoramic, more the mindfulness is spread over a wider range of objects. But it's still mindfulness, and we can use these different qualities of mindfulness to our advantage. Because in a similar way, sometimes the mindfulness feels very active, and it's almost like we're getting the object. Got it. Sometimes that can become tiring, and we might need to settle back and move into a more receptive quality of mindfulness. So we're just settled back and receiving, almost listening to our experience, to whatever arises. So you can think of it as a bit like the different lenses on a camera. Sometimes we're really zoomed in close, like the macro lens where everything is up close and in extra high definition. Other times it's a very wide angle lens and we're taking in a broader range of our experience. So if the mind is starting to feel a little tight or contracted, that might be a signal to consciously open up the lens of awareness and notice the broader aspects of our experience. At other times we might feel a little bit spacey or confused or not very focused. Then that might be an invitation to sort of zoom in and connect more closely to the objects that we're paying attention to. Over the arc of this retreat and over the development of mindfulness, those of you who are familiar with the Satipatthana Sutta, you know that there is this invitation to start with mindfulness of the body and then gradually to begin to include more and more subtle and complex aspects of our experience. We start with the body and the breath because for most people that's relatively simple. As Rebecca was saying the other night, sense-based reality, it's easier to stay there. The mind, on the other hand, tends to create all kinds of complexity, sometimes confusion and delusion, so it's a little harder to pay attention to. So we begin by training in stabilizing the mind, getting that steadiness of samadhi. And when we have some steadiness, we can start to open up the field of awareness to include more and more aspects of our experience until ultimately nothing is left out of the field of awareness. So one analogy for this opening up, one of my teachers, Gil Fronsdal, talks about it being like a wheel. And if we think of the body and the breath as being like the hub of the wheel, as we move out from the center of the wheel, on the very outside of the wheel, on the rim, we have complexified thinking. So we start at the center, we have the body at the hub. Then we have the responses of feeling tone, vedana, which are somewhat mental and somewhat physical. And then often we have the reactions to feeling tone, if it's unpleasant, not liking, if it's pleasant, wanting, and so on. And then the further we get from the rim of the wheel, the more complex the mental reactions are. And in my own practice, this has been very useful because when we're at the rim of the wheel, we're sort of literally can be spinning out. And so when we notice that sense, I don't know if you have noticed, the mind kind of spinning, almost digging a groove, you know, spinning wheels. Oh, okay, that's a suggestion. Can I come back to the hub of the wheel? Because the hub of the wheel, the body, the breath, feel a little more stable. So we can sort of recollect ourselves, gather our awareness there as an antidote to that sense of spinning out. So this morning I wanted to offer a little bit of an invitation to begin exploring a little further out from the hub of the wheel, to start looking very directly at the mind. Because in some ways mindfulness of the body is a little bit of a setup, mindfulness of the breath. It's almost a setup. We tell ourselves, yes, I'm going to pay attention to the breath. How long does it stay there? You know, if you could statistically measure mindfulness of breathing, we're probably actually paying a lot more attention to the mind in terms of time than we are to the breath, because it's that repeated noticing when the mind moves away that actually is the practice. And often where the mind moves to is some kind of thought. So being able to work with thoughts skillfully in meditation is a crucial skill. So just in terms of exploring thoughts, often we have this very contradictory attitude to them. On the one hand, we dismiss them as just thoughts, but other times we absolutely take them to be me, mine, who I am. We create a whole world of thought and then step into it as if it was reality. This is what Rebecca was talking about the other night. So in terms of training ourselves to be aware of thought, what we're trying to do is simply know thought as thought. Not jumping on the train, not following along with it, not fighting with it, trying to get rid of it, but simply knowing when some kind of mental activity is happening. That mental activity can show up as images, as sounds, as streams of words, all kinds of different things. But we simply know, oh, thinking. Later on, we'll talk about more complex kinds of thoughts that are in the terrain of emotion. But for this morning, I'm going to invite us just to notice when thinking is present and perhaps when it's absent. Now, what often happens when people are, in quotation marks, given permission to look at thoughts, some people find the thoughts just disappear. They can be very annoying like that. If that happens and no thinking is present, that's fine. Then you just notice no thinking. Other people notice when they're invited to look at thoughts, this overwhelming torrent of thoughts. So you can just note, you don't have to try and catch them all. You can just note stream of thinking, or note or know that that's what's happening. So you're just noticing, noting whatever is happening in terms of your mental activity. So that's the overall template of what we'll be doing today. Okay, so just take a few moments to settle into a meditation posture that's relatively comfortable. One where you can be relaxed and alert. So coming home to the body and getting that felt sense of the body in whatever posture it is right now. Sitting or standing or lying down. Bringing the awareness to the hub of the wheel. And just taking a few moments to check in with the physical sensations of the body. Letting the weight of the body settle into and be supported by the ground beneath you. And then gently bringing the awareness to the experience of breathing. Wherever the physical sensations of the breath are clearest for you. Letting the awareness rest there, very lightly, on that simple knowing that you're breathing in and knowing that you're breathing out. And as you continue to pay attention to the breath, you might notice that with every out-breath, there's a very natural and subtle sense of softening and relaxing and releasing. So inclining in this direction of ease, even as you stay connected to each in-breath and each out-breath, one half-breath at a time, knowing that you're breathing in, knowing that you're breathing out. Whenever you notice that the attention has moved away from the breath, with a smile you can simply begin again. Gently bring the awareness back to the simple knowing of breathing in and breathing out. This gentle, repeated coming back to the breath helps to stabilize the mind, to strengthen samadhi. Knowing that you're breathing in, knowing that you're breathing out. As the samadhi gets a little stronger and the mindfulness becomes more stable, you might naturally stay with the full extent of each in-breath and each out-breath, noticing or knowing that each half-breath has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Then you might notice a slight gap, and then the beginning and the middle and the end of the out-breath. Without forcing or straining, just seeing if you can stay present to the beginning and the middle and the end of each in-breath and each out-breath. One half-breath at a time. Now that we have a little more stability of mind, we can begin to open up the field of awareness quite gradually to include physical sensations anywhere in the body, so not just the sensations of the breath, but any sensations that naturally arise anywhere in the body. Simply knowing or noting whatever sensations may be present, perhaps tingling or pulsing, heaviness, warmth, tightness, lightness, and so on. Staying present with these sensations for as long as they last. And when they're no longer predominant, coming back to the home base of the breath. And maintaining the same settling back and receiving experience, opening up the awareness even further now to include sounds, the experience of hearing. Not going out after the sounds or trying to identify the sounds, but simply knowing when a sound has arisen. Hearing for as long as the sound lasts. And when there is no sound, perhaps in moments you might notice silence, or simply return to the home base of the breath. Settling back now and receiving the experience of hearing whenever a sound is present. And still maintaining this relaxed and receptive awareness. Opening up now to include the experience of mental activity. Any kinds of thoughts or images or sounds in the mind can simply be known as thinking. You might imagine a kind of a blank screen, and from time to time a thought scrolls across it, and you can simply know, thinking. No need to follow the thought or get involved in the thought. Simply settling back and knowing it as thought. Or if no thoughts seem to be present, you can know no thinking. And you might notice wondering, well, is that a thought? Just no mental activity. Not getting involved, but settling back and receiving whatever thoughts and images might present themselves. And if at any time you get lost or confused, you can come back to the hub of the wheel, the home base of the breath, re-establishing stability of mind there. And then when you're ready, opening up again to include the experience of thinking and knowing thinking. Without forcing or straining, simply settling back and receiving any thoughts that may scroll through the mind. And if or when no thoughts are present, coming back to the breath. for the remainder of the sitting, you have a choice. So if the mindfulness is feeling quite stable and steady, you can experiment with letting go of directing the attention anywhere in particular and simply settle back and receive whatever is predominant moment to moment. Perhaps a sound or a thought, a sensation, the breath, another thought, and so on. On the other hand, if the mindfulness is feeling a little weak and there's not so much stability, you might return to a primary object, an anchor, and keep returning the attention there to strengthen this quality of samadhi, stability of mind. So choosing for yourself now, either a more choiceless awareness or strengthening samadhi on one object in silence now. So just a couple of questions that came from the question bowl.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.